over and over.
We had come back to it over and over in every possible way. He did indeed seem to have no points to defend, but during his absence in Oaxaca, I was given to just a shadow of doubt. Suddenly I realized that Anagual did have one point to defend. The description of the eagle and what it does required, in my opinion, a passionate defense. I tried to pose that question to some of Don Juan's companions, but they eluded my probings. They told me that I was in quarantine from that kind of discussion until Don Juan had finished his explanation. The moment he returned, we sat down to talk, and I asked him about it.
"Those truths are not something to defend passionately," he replied. "If you think that I'm trying to defend them, you are mistaken. Those truths were put together for the delight and enlightenment of warriors, not to engage any proprietary sentiments. When I told you that a Nagual has no points to defend, I meant, among other things, that a Nagual has no obsessions."
I told him that I was not following his teachings, for I had become obsessed with his description of the eagle and what it does. I remarked over and over about the awesomeness of such an idea.
"It is not just an idea," he said. "It is a fact, and a damn scary one, if you ask me. The new seers were not simply playing with ideas."
"But what kind of force would the eagle be?"
"I wouldn't know how to answer that. The eagle is as real for the seers as gravity and time are for you, and just as abstract and incomprehensible."
"Wait a minute, Don Juan. Those are abstract concepts, but they do refer to real phenomena that can be corroborated. There are whole disciplines dedicated to that."
"The eagle and its emanations are equally corroboratable," Don Juan retorted. "And the discipline of the new seers is dedicated to doing just that."
I asked him to explain what the eagle's emanations are. He said that the eagle's emanations are an immutable thing in itself, which engulfs everything that exists, the knowable and the unknowable.
"There is no way to describe in words what the eagle's emanations really are," Don Juan continued. "A seer must witness them."
"Have you witnessed them yourself, Don Juan?"
"Of course I have. And yet I can't tell you what they are. They are a presence, almost a mass of sorts, a pressure that creates a dazzling sensation. One can catch only a glimpse of them, as one can catch only a glimpse of the eagle itself."
"Would you say, Don Juan, that the eagle is the source of the emanations?"
"It goes without saying that the eagle is the source of its emanations."
"I meant to ask if that is so visually."
"There is nothing visual about the eagle. The entire body of a seer senses the eagle. There is something in all of us that can make us witness with our entire body. Seers explain the act of seeing the eagle in very simple terms. Because man is composed of the eagle's emanations, man need only revert back to his components. The problem arises with man's awareness. It is his awareness that becomes entangled and confused. At the crucial moment when it should be a simple case of the emanations acknowledging themselves, man's awareness is compelled to interpret. The result is a vision of the eagle and the eagle's emanations. But there is no eagle and no eagle's emanations. What is out there is something that no living creature can grasp."
I asked him if the source of the emanations was called the eagle, because eagles in general have important attributes.
"This is simply the case of something unknowable, vaguely resembling something known," he replied. On account of that, there have certainly been attempts to imbue eagles with attributes they don't have. But that always happens when impressionable people learn to perform acts that require great sobriety. Seers come in all sizes and shapes.
Do you mean to say that there are different kinds of seers?
No. I mean that there are scores of imbeciles who become seers. Seers are human beings full of foibles, or rather, human beings full of foibles are capable of becoming seers, just as in the case of miserable people who become superb scientists. The characteristic of miserable seers is that they are willing to forget the wonder of the world. They become overwhelmed by the fact that they see and believe that it's their genius that counts. A seer must be a paragon in order to override the nearly invincible laxness of our human condition. More important than seeing itself is what seers do with what they see.
What do you mean by that, Don Juan?
Look at what some seers have done to us. We are stuck with their vision of an eagle that rules us and devours us at the moment of our death.
He said that there is a definite laxness in that version, and that personally, he did not appreciate the idea of something devouring us. For him, it would be more accurate to say that there is a force that attracts our consciousness, much as a magnet attracts iron shavings. At the moment of dying, all of our being disintegrates under the attraction of that immense force. That such an event was interpreted as the eagle devouring us, he found grotesque, because it turns an indescribable act into something as mundane as eating. I'm a very average man, I said. The description of an eagle that devours us had a great impact on me.
The real impact can't be measured until the moment when you see it yourself, he said. But you must bear in mind that our flaws remain with us even after we become seers. So when you see that force, you may very well agree with the lax seers who called it the eagle, as I did myself. On the other hand, you may not. You may resist the temptation to ascribe human attributes to what is incomprehensible and actually improvise a new name for it, a more accurate one.